I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
It is time for Touche here on the Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio tonight. Dave Lundy and Chris Varonis. Chris Varonis in for Chris Roebling.
They're playing our song, Justin. They're playing our song. I've missed that song.
I know. It's been a month. At least a month here. It's good to have you guys back in studio. Good to see you, Chris.
I feel like
good
the French. We took a month off.
It was a siesta.
A long siesta.
All right. So let's get the boxing gloves tied up here and let's get at it. I mean, right now, it seems like the Democrats have almost kind of they've had a great week in the sense that they got to negotiate with the president. But let's start with Steve Bannon, who essentially last night and in the news today has decided it's war against his own party, against the Republicans.
Yeah, the watching Bannon was, I don't want to say fun because it's more like painful. Bannon is declaring war on the Republican Party. He's declaring war on the establishment. He said the establishment declared war on Donald Trump the moment he won the election. And he said the Republican establishment. He called out Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and said that that Mitch McConnell specifically asked him to drop the talk about draining the swamp. So and therein lies the problem for me. I don't believe anything Steve Bannon ever says. Yeah. So.
Wow. We agree on like the first count.
No.
On the first count. I don't believe what he says either, Dave. And I'm also one who thinks that Steve Bannon's bark is worse than his bite. I mean, this guy was made into be Godzilla on January 20th and even before. I will take Steve Bannon seriously if he can pick off a sitting member.
Well, he says he wants to do that, happens, right?
Until that happens, all bark and no bite. But you know who this is really a problem for deep down is Donald Trump. Because if you're whittling away your majority in the Senate, especially in the House, because that's really becoming more and more in play, how would you like articles of impeachment when Nancy Pelosi becomes Speaker of the House? So if I was Donald Trump, I would
stop the rhetoric.
I mean, would sit on the
end. What's it mean? I mean, when he says he wants to do a Republican or he wants to take down the quote-unquote swamp and he wants to run campaigns, this is Bannon talking, in the primary. I mean, is he really going after replacing those Republicans with more Trump-like, like a different political party, a more Trump-like political party?
Well, this is part of the problem because Donald Trump has gone after moderate Republicans. And he's gone after, actually, somebody calculated, he's gone after 20% of his party. He's called out 20% of his party, which is still more than he's ever done to Vladimir Putin, I might add. But he's only got a 2-seat majority in the Senate. So if he goes after Jeff Flake, which he said he's going to run a primary opponent against him, and I think they've got one identified. And if he goes after, I forget who the other guys he's planning to go after, but he's going after all these moderate Republicans and wants to take them out. At the exact moment, he's abandoning the Republicans himself. So, and that was one of the questions that Charlie Rose asked to Steve Bannon. Was like, well, but aren't you going after the people that you're going to need to protect the president? And Bannon's answer was,
well, doesn't Bannon think that not only will he win a primary campaign, but that would be a no-brainer to beat a Democrat in that same area? So, I mean, he is looking to reshape with more allies in the so-called quote-unquote swamp.
The so-called quote-unquote swamp. And again, I Bannon to me is all bluster. And he, in a sense, he really belongs at Breitbart. Because that's what he does best, is just belch out venom. And, you know, to put this in context, you know, because I mean, this is worrisome, I think. You just don't want this fire on the right if you're Ryan or McConnell. But, you know, to put this in context, Republicans have something like a 6-to-1 fundraising advantage over Democrats. So, you know, if I were Democrats, I would be really concerned about who's
giving. Dave,
let me
ask you. I mean, you hear the stats like that, and you know, it's been just a couple of years since there was a thought that Democrats had the advantage in the political landscape of the United States. But then you hear Chris here say 6-to-1 fundraising. The president has turned the tide. More and more of this country is red than it is blue. Is there a crisis in confidence when it comes to the Democrats? Democrats in this country?
Well, the Democrats have, I mean, it's so funny because these big macro narratives tend to get written based upon one person's election, and that's the presidency. And in this case, we, of course, had Hillary Clinton being defeated by Hillary Clinton. And the result was Donald Trump won. And that is my position. I'm sticking to it. Hillary beat herself, no matter what she says in this poor me book of hers. And then we take that and we say, oh, my God, and therefore. But the reality is you could look at not just the Hillary question, but the voter suppression stuff has turned out to be really, really, really effective. I'm sorry, they're numbers, Chris. And I know Republicans don't like numbers these days and data, but the fact is the Republican voter suppression techniques have deprived hundreds of thousands of voters in many states and millions and millions of voters.
Republicans on the other side are saying this.
I've known you for a long time, Dave, and I've never asked you for anything.
Yeah.
But please.
Yes.
Renominate Hillary Clinton. Just for the good of the country. She needs another chance.
Please.
Third time's the charm.
No, we're going to go with Bernie Sanders this time because octogenarians are the wave of the future.
I mean, what is the future for the Democratic Party? Because, I mean, I feel like there's no one. David Axelrod was on stage right in the area just last week saying there's really
no farm team.
There's no farm team. There's no infrastructure for Democrats to make waves or make any inroads in 2018. I mean, where are they as a party? As you look, Dave, you've been a diehard Democrat for years. Where are they coming up on the 2018 midterms?
We're in trouble. I mean, look, the trouble we're in for 2018 is that we won't be able to take full advantage of what's being made available to us by Donald Trump. And I think that it would have been a super long shot to take over the House. It would be an even longer shot to take over the Senate because of the number of seats that we have to defend versus the number of seats the Republicans have to defend. So the fact that when you have Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer coming up with slogans like a better deal, it drives people like, you know, me up a bloody wall.
Think about what Dave just said.
No, don't. That's okay.
Do we have a rewind?
Can we talk about Josh Bellamy dropping the pass in the end zone last night?
Justin, we got to rewind that.
Can we switch this to politics?
Can't take advantage of what Donald Trump said. I'm astounded. You can't win one congressional race. I mean, things are really, really bad for Democrats if you can't convert on Trump.
We're going to convert a bunch of seats. We're just not going to convert as much as we would otherwise.
Dave Lundy, Chris Varonis in studio. Touche. We are talking about national politics. We come back. We haven't had a chance to talk DACA. Let's talk that. And let's also other things we could talk about, including climate change, as we saw political
it's no
football.
Climate change.
This idea that climate change is not the right time to talk about it when the hurricane's coming through, and it became political when some were saying it shouldn't. It's all up in the air. So Chris Varonis, Dave Lundy, Touche. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
It's Touche every Monday night here on the Download, 720 WGN. Chris Varonis and Dave Lundy in tonight as we discuss national politics. We go left, we go right. Let's talk about right in the middle. Donald Trump coming. Very interesting that he was able to work around the Republican Congress to come up with a debt ceiling deal and essentially with Democrat leadership, something that I think I would say that a lot of voters expected more of in the first year of Donald Trump, this idea that he wasn't going to have party affiliation, that he would work with whoever to get the deal done. This is the first time we've seen it. Before that, it was all Democrats' fault for this or Democrats' fault for that. This seemed to be one that put the Republicans on their heels, but at the same time, you know, it seemed to me like a political move for
Donald
Trump.
You know what
Trump.
Else voters expected, Justin? That he'd make good deals. This was absolutely not a good deal. This was Chuck and Nancy, as he likes to call them. This
his
was
new
their
best
first
friends.
Offer, which he bit down hard on and swallowed. This is a stupid deal. Trump gets nothing for it. The issue is resurrected in 3 months' time when the game
plan ceiling, right,
all
right.
along was to extend it a year or ideally 18
months.
Then
why did he do it? What was the reason for doing it?
Because I think the meeting went long and he just got bored and wanted to get out of there and just said, okay, take it.
I've been guilty of that.
I don't. I actually have a different take on this. I think, though, in this case, I think it was absolutely the plan. He absolutely walked in there planning to go with Chuck and Nancy, his new best buddies.
He went into the meeting to cave.
But here's why. He went into the meeting because he's mad as hell at McConnell and Ryan. He thinks they failed him. He wants to. That was a shot, in my opinion. That was a shot across the bow. That was a message
that will come back to him in 3 months.
That's correct.
He's going to re-inherit the issue in 3 months.
I didn't say it was a smart idea. Remember, he's impulsive. He operates out of anger. He operates out of frustration. And in my mind, when I saw that, the second I did, I'm like, oh yeah, he just wanted to stick it to Ryan and didn't think about the fact that he bit down hard, as you said, on the first offer.
Well,
nobody. I mean, he's a real estate developer in New York. Nobody accepts the first offer.
Well, let me ask this. I mean, we'll go right into DACA on this. I mean, another move that politically, when you talk about the strategy of rescinding essentially what was an executive order from the previous administration to throw it back to Congress, and then for Congress to actually say, yeah, we all kind of agreed that we really want to do this. What is it, a good strategy for the president to say, hey, Congress, take care of this immigration stuff, get it out of
my
lap?
Actually, the only way we're going to get past the only way we're going to do meaningful immigration reform is through Congress. Period. We need a legislative solution. The system's broken. Both sides agree on that, and I think you could cobble together a majority to do a really good bill. Now, what Trump did, many would agree, I think many on my side would agree, that you just can't do these executive actions. Even Obama himself said, I'm not going to do an executive action before he wound up doing it. What makes me scratch my head about the 6 month DACA delay is that Trump basically overruled his own attorney general, who said that this was unconstitutional, and wound up putting a bookend on this debate through a tweet that said, "I'll revisit it only when the media coverage was not trending his way, when he looked inhumane, when he looked cruel," and so. I'm just left scratching my head. What are we doing on immigration reform when Trump wakes up from a nap and doesn't feel good and decides to take action on it?
Well, it's funny you said that because I noticed that some of the coverage of the Chuck and Nancy deal, the first romance, was that it was great, and so there's stories about how Trump called Chuck and Nancy and said, "Hey, did you check out? Do you watch Fox News? Did you see the coverage? You guys are really getting some good press on this." It's like, dude, put the press aside, just stop it, stop yourself. And
Do you see it, Dave, from the Democratic side? Do you see it as a positive thing that the DACA delay and the idea that this is getting pushed back to Congress?
Well, first of all, I see it as a humanitarian catastrophe. I mean, I think that when you look at what is happening, look, there's no question that Obama was the deporter in chief, and that a lot of Democrats were very upset with him over it. But he didn't do some of the things that this Trump White House is doing. And what's interesting is during the campaign, Trump denied there was going to be a deportation force. And now we're hearing there's going to be a deportation force and that ICE is being empowered to have the largest deportations in U.S. history. And in fact,
Chris,
I was just reading it.
You know yourself, Dave, that net immigration is down. There's no more crossings happening right now. There's jobs to be had in Mexico, though. But what's this deportation force?
You're deporting people who've never lived in Mexico as grown-ups. You're deporting kids. You're deporting people who have built lives in this country.
I'm all for the Dreamers.
The Dream Act passed overwhelmingly in the U.S. Senate.
Agreed. And something should be done. And yes. I've always said, even on this show, that the best friend Democrats have right now is Donald Trump.
Yes. But in this case, the best friend the Dreamers have is not Donald Trump. And I think that what happened when he said, oh, maybe I'll reconsider, is, as you said, he got some bad press.
Exactly.
And he hadn't thought through. And
exactly.
Again, this is the thing. You need a president to behave somewhat consistently, whether it's in foreign policy or domestic policy. This kind of like weird stuff. It's not jujitsu, because that implies there's some brilliant strategy here. It's just hyper. It's just like some kid who's hyper.
Before we break, and for tonight, let's talk about climate change. The politics of climate change came up. CNN had asked Scott Pruitt, the EPA chief, about climate change, and he denied to talk about it, said it was offensive to talk about it while this was happening. But there's questions about whether or not we're being this what we saw with Hurricane Irma and what we've seen just with Hurricane Harvey is a precursor or something from climate change. And the question is, where does the administration stand? I mean, is this something that will become a political issue now that we've had these huge catastrophes in the last month?
Look, what happened with Harvey was exactly what was predicted in some of the climate models. I mean, not the 50 inches of rain, because that was so extreme. That was what they called a million-year event. But the problem is we're having these 100-year and 500-year events every year or two. And so
CNN was around a million years ago?
The right wing in this country who tries to deny climate change exists, right. And Scott Pruitt is like the king of that. They're increasingly looking foolish by reality on the ground. And that's not just the reality of the hurricanes. It's the reality of the changing nature of the climate has weird effects all over the place. Chicago, I'm sorry, we didn't hit 90 this summer.
If you look at the statistical models for hurricanes going back to the mid-19th century, there's no upward trend. We have been in a hurricane drought for 12 years. There has not been a Category 3, 4, or 5 hurricane that's made landfall since 2005.
That is absolutely correct.
We are in a tornado drought, and you cannot show me one credible piece of evidence, statistical climate evidence, that shows causation.
Yes, I actually,
no,
I can.
No, you can't.
Yes,
you're
I can.
Not out there.
There's lots out there.
We're going to call this segment No, You Can't. Yes, I Can. That's the new segment.
Yes,
here.
I Can to Infinity.
Yeah, to Infinity. Dave Lundy, I'm Chris Veronis, we'll pick this back up. You guys are back together next week, and I'd love to pick it back up on climate change. It would still be an issue. It's Touche every Monday night here on The Download. Chris, Dave, thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks.